In today's episode 10, season 9 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, I actually pulled out the handwritten draft board from the live draft last year from our Fantasy Football Foundation, the baseline for me going on to win that league for the first time in its 9-year history, and I have the Jimmy McGinty Trophy all season to prove it. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. It's a sweet and spicy summer at Hooters. Try our new summer menu, including new hand-breaded chicken tenders shaken in your favorite sauce, served with a side of fries for only $9.99, or try them on a sandwich, chicken bacon ranch tender sandwich with fries for $13.99. And remember, they have that new sauce for summer, mango habanero, a sweet fruity punch with a spicy smooth kick. That's fun to say. Never said it was easy. Some of you will have to let me know how it is. It feels like it's too much heat for me, unless Tony Metzler, store manager of the Johns Pass location, tells me otherwise. Hooters, 11 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area to serve you. Easy online ordering and details on those locations at originalhooters.com. So yeah, I'm going to take last year's draft board, one of my better drafts and one of my better years ever in fantasy football. My first time ever winning the foundation. 2 years prior, I did win the podcast league head-to-head against Ira. I'm hoping I figure out a way to get Ira and I recorded for a podcast at something we're both going to be at. That's in the near future. Working on that. I hope that happens. I'm going to need some help with how to do it, so we'll see if we pull that off. But I've won fantasy football leagues in the past, but last year may have been one of my best teams ever, and it was certainly one of my best drafts ever as it relates to the first 6 rounds. So I want to compare that to where we are this year, because much of this year is based off production from last year going into this draft. So I'm going to look at Matthew Berry's overall top 200 as of the time of this broadcast to sort of base our conversation off last year's foundation draft board. Write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com for anything you want me to talk about on the podcast, anything specific to one of your teams, any this or that that you want me to get into, I can do on the podcast, and I'll probably just write you back anyway and give you my opinion and then use it on the podcast as a talking point. So, you know the story by now. Every other owner could have chosen to pick first overall in this 10-team league. They all passed. So by default, I'm picking first. Snake draft, 10 teams. So then I'll pick 20th, 21st, and on from there. I take McCaffrey number one. That couldn't have worked out better for me. He sits number one in mock draft data from Fantasy Football. Calculator is the time of this broadcast, and Matthew Berry's overall top 200 on NBCSports.com. There is a concern about the calf injury that reportedly will keep McCaffrey from any preseason action. But let's just add him to the list of established players or even non-established players who aren't going to play at all in the preseason. It's 3 games. They're all meaningless. And we could rattle off a ton of names that we're not going to see at all. I mean, Caleb Williams didn't even play in the Hall of Fame game. It's just very telling, and it's where the preseason has trickled down to almost feels like less than a glorified scrimmage. Are we seeing when teams scrimmage, are we seeing more of the starters in the scrimmages that lead to the fights than we are in preseason games? Because that the teams ultimately control it, it's under team control, not league control. They're not subject to league rules, television rules, etc. So last year I take McCaffrey number one, and there he is, number one again this year. Rest of our first round went Chase, Jefferson, Eckler. Already it's odd to see Eckler as a first round draft pick with the perception of him now. There's Cup, which I should add to this. Cup was only selected in the first round last year by an owner who did not have the full injury report on Cup. Many of you have been down this road, whether it's you or someone else in your league. That happened once in our league last year, and it happened in the first round. Tyreek Hill went sixth. I remember Doc, a two-time Jimmy McGinty Trophy winner, getting Tyreek Hill with the sixth pick. And I talked about how, you know, how heavily I invested in him first year after the trade from Kansas City, knowing not to make the mistake, like we talked about last episode, of downgrading a wide receiver one just because he is traded or signs as a free agent with another team. Don't make the automatic assumption that it's a downgrade. And Hill going six, I forgot about that. Had I not picked number one, I could have gotten him up to five. Because I know Doc also was a surrogate in a podcast league last year and chose Hill also in the first round. I think he took him at five, four or five. Yeah, I forgot. Dave Worth went ahead, took Jalen Hurts, just came into the draft saying, I'm going to get Jalen Hurts. I want all those push-push touchdowns. Dave took Hurts at number seven. Then Barkley, then Chubb, then Diggs. Now, one of the things I said in the previous podcast was, you know, you can't do the obvious downgrade of a player simply because he changes teams. Diggs has changed teams from Buffalo to Houston. While I am still very interested in Stephon Diggs, I am following my own advice and am not automatically downgrading Diggs to the point where I don't want them. I'm not considering Diggs in the first round. Diggs has been a pretty steady wide receiver one or late first round, right, early second round fantasy pick in recent years. We talked about it last episode. Like Lord Matthew Berry had him as one example. I think the fantasy football calculator data had him near the end of round three, top of round four, and Matthew Berry has him at 29. So that's basically either mid to end of round three. By definition, that's a downgrade, but it's not a lot, okay? It's not a lot, and if you feel strongly, and granted, Nico Collins is considered higher by Matthew Berry, being drafted higher at the time of this broadcast, you may just simply have two wide receiver ones. CJ Stroud should throw the ball enough to satisfy multiple wide receivers, and you still have Tank Dell in the mix as well, and Dalton Schultz. So that was round one last year. Started round two with CeeDee Lamb, which is interesting because CeeDee Lamb is number two on Matthew Berry's board, even higher than Tyreek Hill, even higher than Ja'Marr Chase, even higher than Justin Jefferson, or any second running back. We did the entire podcast about Breeze versus Bijan. Mahomes then went next, and that impacted me. No, I'm sorry. That got my antenna up last year when Mahomes went in the second round. No real change in Mahomes' value this year. If somebody wants him, really wants him, they're going to take him either with their first round pick or with their second round pick if they really want Mahomes. Because after that, you can't count on Mahomes being available in the third round. Robinson third, Bijan early second round, so 13th overall. His value is up based on what he did last year. We went over all those numbers in a previous podcast, and fantasy owners and Falcons fans all said, why not more? And the person who held him back for more is no longer involved with the Atlanta Falcons. Then we have A.J. Brown went next. He has moved up in value, according to Barry and mock draft data from Fantasy Football Calculator. There's Derrick Henry, about the same. Huh. So last year, this is why I get along with Doc so well and why he is always in the mix to win fantasy championships. Doc's first two picks, and yes, Doc is a geosciences professor at University of South Florida. Doc went Tyreek Hill with the sixth pick, and then it wrapped around him in the second round to Derrick Henry with the 15th pick. Solid. Matthew Berry has Derrick Henry actually lower than I thought. 25th. And not sure if Fantasy Football Calculator, but I thought it was Derrick Henry was being drafted middle of the second round. Then Davante Adams. We'll do a whole podcast on him at some point. Then Kelce. Remember, my league's no mandatory tight end. Tight ends are simply played and evaluated as pass catchers, just like wide receivers. There's one spot in every starting lineup you can play a tight end or play a wide receiver. You cannot put a running back in that spot. Running backs have their own two spots, and that's it. Jacobs went eighth in the second round. He changes teams, goes to Green Bay. That one's going to be a podcast on its own as well. What does Matthew Berry have Josh Jacobs? Did I scroll past it already? No. Hold on. This is interesting. I'm scrolling. 44th? Much lower than I've seen from mock draft data. Just ahead of Joe Mixon. And behind... who's the running back he's behind? Pacheco, who I've seen going pretty high. Then Josh Allen. That had Josh Allen not been selected with the second to last pick in the second round last year, I hate to say this, but I won the title. I would have had a perfect first six rounds of the draft. Perfect. Because once we got to I was counting down until I picked at the end of the second round, knowing I would pick twice in a row. And one of those picks was going to be Josh Allen. And he went the pick before me, which was turnabout, we didn't know it at the time, from the director of golf from Tampa Bay Downs, Joey DePompo, and a former league champion, defeated his wife in the title game. Joey never thought I'd take McCaffrey number one. which I did. I didn't think Hillary would take Josh Allen one pick before me, which she did. So, Josh Allen goes there. Top three quarterbacks off the board. So, my plan of getting Allen and Amon-Ra is suddenly gone. I take Amon-Ra, who now is going first round of every fantasy draft, right? One of the top five wide receivers off the board. Matthew Berry has him as the fifth best wide receiver available behind Lamb Hill, Chase Jefferson, ahead of Nakua, A.J. Brown, Garrett Wilson, Drake London, Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison going rather high in draft speaks to the talent, the pedigree, or maybe just the name stands out more because of this really odd jersey brouhaha. So I decided I value quarterbacks. I love Joe Burrow. Acknowledging the red flag of the injury he was dealing with. He later had the wrist or the hand injury during the season, and I had to find someone else, and I was fortunate, but I went with Joe Burrow at the top of the third round, and that didn't work out for me. Now, the numbers on Joe coming into that draft actually said to me, if you can't get one of the top three quarterbacks, and we've talked a lot on these podcasts about how Lamar Jackson is perceived as a great fantasy quarterback, but on a week-to-week basis will frustrate fantasy owners, and the rushing touchdowns were down significantly going into last season based on his career numbers. So I went with Joe. Knowing I wouldn't get a lot on the ground, but I would get a ton through the air with all of his targets, how good the Bengals were, just a couple years removed from the Super Bowl, just coming off a loss in the AFC title game to the Chiefs, and Burrow got hurt. Yeah, I regret the pick. I regret it because I ignored some of the red flags about the injuries and that it didn't work out. So, in the end, I figured out a way to win a title by properly evaluating other available quarterbacks, rostering them, playing them in key games, and going on. But, yeah, if Joey doesn't grab Josh Allen there, I may have the perfect first six rounds. Because my first three rounds would then have been McCaffrey 1, Amon-Ra 2, Josh Allen 3. All right, on from there, Garrett Wilson went next. Garrett Wilson is a late first round, early second round pick this year. His value is up, and it's interesting that Garrett Wilson's value is up from last year, and it's like we've already been here. So why is it even higher? Because I'm thinking Aaron Rodgers gets hurt again, or something weird happens. And, I mean, Rodgers' numbers were his ability to win games and his ability to put up big numbers, make certain throws, was dropping before his Green Bay career ended. A reason his Green Bay career ended as well. Then Metcalf, third pick in the third round, then Pollard. This wasn't a great third round. There's nobody here. So that should make me feel better that I went Burrow in the third round. Here's the third round. Garrett Wilson was a disappointment. DK Metcalf, I think, was a modest disappointment. Pollard was definitely a disappointment because he couldn't get the tough yards on the end zone. He didn't score very much. Olave. Debo still has Debo games. That's a dock pick. Mixon, Waddle, injury. Najee Harris, disappointment again. Ramondre. So not much of a third round there. Fourth round went ETN, who was very good early, and as the Jags went down, so did he. You could argue as ETN failed to produce on the ground, the Jaguars followed suit. Chicken or the egg there. Ridley went early fourth round. Then Jackson, Dobbins. There's Justin Herbert, was the sixth quarterback off the board. Fields, we they don't run on quarterbacks. McLaurin, then Aaron Jones, Pierce, and then I took Jahmyr Gibbs, last pick of the fourth round. Jahmyr Gibbs now, Matthew Berry has him at 12. So I got in early on Gibbs. Granted, this isn't dynasty, but was a pick that really worked out for me. First pick of the fifth round was T. Higgins. Higgins missed a lot of games. Fortunately for me, I drafted another receiver at the end of the sixth round, and I didn't need Higgins as much, even though I have slots to play three pass catchers. But Higgins went fifth. I guess that could have been a better pick. Yeah, that could have been a better pick. Well, let's see what went after. Mark Andrews, Devontae Smith, Mike Williams, wow, Walker, Breece Hall. Doc and I draft a lot of the same guys. Dave then went Keenan Allen, then Hopkins, Gabe Davis, wow, the all or nothing Gabe Davis, now Jacksonville, right, and then Cooper, who of course had a huge game in the fantasy playoffs for some of you. Basically, was the spike of the football for Sean Sullivan in one of my leagues last year, winning the title. Sixth round, first pick of the sixth round last year was DJ Moore. Where is he going now? He's moved way up with Caleb Williams as his quarterback. Matthew Berry has him at wide receiver 18. That seems low, but 28th overall. And in last year's draft, he was going 51st. Then Tua, then I guess I was doubt. I guess then Cook. That wasn't Dalvin Cook. That was James Cook of Buffalo. No, maybe it wasn't, because I thought, because there's another Cook on the board. Mike Evans was terrific last year and a phenomenal value. How many times did I say on previous podcast last year, how for years, sort of the boring wide receiver ones were Stephon Diggs and Mike Evans. Evans is more of a wide receiver one in fantasy, I think right now, than Diggs, even though I'm not doing a significant downgrade on Diggs just because he changed teams. But I mean, I don't think there's any way. So Dave Worth drafted Evans with the 54th pick. No way. This year, Mike Evans is going to last to 54 because Baker Mayfield proved he can play. And he has a connection with Mike Evans. Mike Evans was likely hurt by the uncertainty around Baker Mayfield last year, and there is no uncertainty about Baker Mayfield. Evans, Matthew Berry has him at 23. So, I mean, Mike Evans, a late second, early third round pick now. Then Pacheco, that's pretty good value. Again, Doc. Miles Sanders, whoa, how that guy went from totally sheep to totally geek. James Conner, when healthy, just getting it done. Getting in the end zone for the Cardinals. Then Trevor Lawrence. Really, Tara took Trevor Lawrence? Jerry Jeudy, ugh. And then I went with Ayuk at the end of the sixth round. So, I'm very proud of that draft. Very, mostly, McCaffrey in round one. Amon-Ra round two. Jahmyr Gibbs round four. Ayuk round six. Higgins didn't play enough. Did help me win a championship with an 80-yard catch and run in week 16. Joe Burrow was hurt when I drafted him, then got hurt again, but I was so close to getting Josh Allen there. Okay, so that was last year. And if you're saying, well, Todd, why are you stopping after six rounds? What did you do after that? Nothing good. I admit to you, nothing good. My first pick in the seventh round was the worst running back last year in goal-to-go situations? Any guesses? Warren Sharp had a wonderful breakdown, including the video, of this guy last year, who was in same team from previous year, but now had moved up to starter because the team moved on from the previous starting running back, who was pretty consistent as the RB1 for this particular team. Who am I talking about? And I drafted this guy with the first pick in the 7th round, thinking that he could be a nice RB2 option for me, along with Jahmyr Gibbs. Now, later, I'm pretty good at finding a starting running back on waivers during the season. Like last year, Kyron Williams picked him up on waivers once, and then twice. I still remember picking up rookie Alvin Kamara on waivers after week one or two of his first season, and how that worked out. So, but I expected the role that this player would play on a good team in a good offense to be able to get me double-digit points. Every time he was handed the ball in a goal-to-go situation, awful. You got the name? Yep, I drafted Alexander Mattison with the first pick of the 7th round. And funny, we did the Justin Herbert podcast. Herbert went 3rd in the 7th round. Did Tara really do that last year? She drafted two quarterbacks back-to-back in rounds 6 and 7. She drafted Trevor Lawrence, and she drafted Justin Herbert. Wow, Rashaan White went to Tara in the 8th round. That worked out very well. Okay. So, there's last year's draft board. What it meant for me, how it compares kind of to where we're thinking about players this year, just compare and contrast. Wow, Eckler went 4th. I'm sure he went pretty high in your drafts last year too, and this year, he's a late round dart throw in Washington, because he's not only fighting for carries against a bulldog in Robinson. You know Jaden Daniels is going to take some of those goal-to-go or short yardage carries. Tuck it under, design runs, scrambles, what have you. So yeah, that's a pretty precipitous fall for Eckler. Write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Thank you for listening. We've already done 10 episodes of Season 9 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and I hope you stay with me for the next one and all season long, presented by Hooters.